Business Half Hour here on Classic FM 97.3 is what you are listening to with Ugo Dre. My name is Bukola. Remember, as always, we get to do this together. You can also ask your questions. We have another guest in the studio with us. You can tweet at Classic FM 973 or WhatsApp us. That is 0909-217-2973. Good morning, Ugo.
Hey, Bukola, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How was your weekend?
It was good, thank you. Peaceful?
All right, that was good to have some peace. Peace and
it's
fun.
Never too much.
Peace, fun, and with a little bit of work.
True.
Yeah.
Weekend's not for work, no.
First Monday in December.
Ah, that's true. Getting
towards the end of the year.
Mm. We're rounding off 2019 is gone like that. Oh, it's 2018. Oh, I'm in the future.
Yeah. Well, we tend to... Anyway, I think one of these days we're going to do a look back at this year. You know, how it's been show-wise. I mean, some of the amazing guests that we've had this year.
Yeah, we really had some.
We had a lot of guests this year. All right, Lagos, welcome to Business Alpha. As usual, Nimetrics brings to you some of the most amazing entrepreneurs all over Nigeria. We try to bring them on this show to come and tell you their story and, you know, let us share a little bit about their experiences, challenges. I mean, get someone out there inspired. And who knows? Maybe there's someone out there who's looking to invest in, you know, a startup. You never just know, right? And we've had amazing guys here, guys, women, girls. I mean, like young people who just inspire you. And you're like, my God, why didn't I do this when I was younger?
I tell you, sometimes I just envy them. I wish I could turn back the hands of the clock.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? I mean, like one thing we've learned as well is that entrepreneurship, it's not age bound. That's the most important thing.
Whatever time you start.
The guy who founded KFC did it in his 50s, I think.
You're right.
Anyway, Lagos, so we've got another important guest today. I think you're going to enjoy this particular episode, just like, you know, you have for the other ones. I remember you can always check if you missed this episode or you want to listen to it again. You can always listen to it on our Nimetrics podcast. Just tune into, I mean, any of your podcast applications, either on your iTunes or on your Android phone, anywhere, just, you know, search for Nimetrics podcast and you would always get this episode or the previous ones as well. So as usual, we'll let our guest introduce himself. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Want to introduce yourself to, like,
yes,
to Lagos?
Sure. My name is Olaotan Tarikoko. I am the CEO founder of AfriTickets.com. I'm also the founder of Cranium One Co-working Hub.
So we've got a founder of two companies, Lagos. See,
it's actually more than that, but I just leave it at two. So you don't think I'm doing too much.
It reminds me of Noble.
Yeah, Noble was a conglomerate. So interesting stuff. When I was reading through your profile and I saw that your business started like in 2011. That's like how many years now? That's like
seven years.
Oh, my math. Jeez, 7 years. I'm like, wow, you've gone past, you know, the first 5 years. And what they usually say is that, I mean, like the first 5 years, you are the toughest for small businesses. So you've gone past the first 5 years already.
Yes, I have.
And 7 years. So would you say now that, like, man, this business is going to outlive you?
Well,
confidently say that?
Yes. I mean, that's the goal of every company, of every founder. You want to start an enduring business, a business that, you know, sort of just survives beyond your tenure. Even if I decide to leave tomorrow, I want to know that it's going to be in good hands and I've left the structure and the, you know, everything in place for it to just grow and grow beyond that. I mean, you know, I assume that even if, you know, the founder of McDonald's or, you know, or when he died or when the founder of all the major conglomerates now that we use very commonly died or they passed on, you know, the company still existed. So that's my hope, my prayer.
Fantastic. So you know, you're founder of what I think is an amazing company, I mean, AfriTickets. I could remember researching, you know, I think it was sometime in 2005 or 2006. The first time I ever saw a company that was into tickets, I think it was, there's this one in the US. Is it called Master Ticket?
Ticketmaster,
oh, exactly.
Those are the giants.
Ticketmaster, yes. So I was like, what kind of company is it? Ticket? They just sell tickets. Are you serious? They just sell tickets. Like, so I went to their website and I saw that they were selling all sorts of tickets to anything. I was like, wow, you mean this is a business? And I don't think it ever existed then, you know, in Nigeria. And then today, like,
like any show now, you don't need to like, you know, go there, you go to the venue to buy tickets. You can just go online and buy tickets. So how did this idea come about? Where did it come from? And I think you're one of the pioneers.
We are one of the pioneers. So I grew up in the UK, and it wasn't a particularly new or novel idea to me. Mm-hmm. I used to attend concerts. I mean, the one that really stuck to me was the Usher concert in, I think it was about 2000, mm-hmm. right? And I literally purchased my tickets on Ticketmaster. So that for me was just normal practice. So when I mm-hmm. came to Nigeria, I worked on a couple of projects, one being the the This Day Festival. I don't know if you remember it, in about 2004, 2005.
It was quite big there. I think they had it at the Dome or something like that.
It was at Polo. They had a few. They had one at Polo Club. They had one at some location in Lekki. And I just, you know, the whole experience was quite new to me. At the time, I was publishing a magazine, which was sort of like a lifestyle publication. Mm-hmm. So I was very into that, you know, the whole concert and entertainment. And I just saw that there was no platform, there was no way of actually purchasing tickets for shows. Everybody had to go to the venue. It was very manual, and obviously, you know, at the time it was quite dangerous. You know, you go to the front of the venue, you see area boys, and you're dueling in cash. People used to get robbed all the time. So I just, that for me was sort of like an eye opener. But I didn't actually start the business until a few years later. One of the lessons I've learned is that it's really a filter for me to see whether I'm really passionate about something. If I have an idea for a business and, you know, I can put it on the back burner, because I don't always jump into anything.
Yeah.
I used to have that sort of personality. If I want to do something, I go into it very quickly. But what I do now is I actually put it on the back burner. I think about it. I ideate. I write it on a piece of paper, and I put a business plan together. But then if I see the opportunity grow, right, then I, you know, and if I still think about it down the line, a month, 2 months, even a year later, then I know it's something that I'm passionate about. So I left it and I waited. I wanted to just see whether the market was ready, because it wasn't at the time. There was no pay stack. There was no rave. Internet was very, you know, sketchy at the time. So let's just say about 2009, 10, I thought about it seriously. So I was in the UK. I went for holiday, and I actually arranged some meetings with, some guys from ticketing companies, because I like to research whatever I'm going to. So I met with a representative of tickets.com. I was speaking to him like I wanted to bring them back to Nigeria, but really I was just really
trying to get information.
He didn't know that at the time. I was picking his brain. Mm-hmm. But you know, a piece of me was actually just thinking that, okay, maybe I could bring this back to Nigeria. I approached Ticketmaster, sent them an email. Obviously, at the time, getting an email from Nigeria, you know, luckily my name wasn't, I didn't have Prince.
You didn't have a Prince.
I wasn't a African Prince, but I mean, they just weren't really interested. They just kind of just dismissed me, like, okay, this, okay, we don't, you know, because at the time Nigeria wasn't what it was.
It wasn't what it is today.
So this kind of brushed me off. Then I was like, okay. And I think that for me, I was angry. It actually really annoyed me. So I said, okay, fine. You know how you are as a young guy, you have that energy. You say, okay, I'll do it myself. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I just kind of, it was that pride, and it was that yearning to succeed. I said, okay, I would do it myself. So I literally started the process of writing my business plan. I started speaking to as many people. I bought books. I started reading up on the topic. I read articles. I knew everything about Ticketmaster. I knew everything about the players in the industry. And then I just approached a developer. He, just a guy from the UK. I didn't know anything about developing, so I called him. I literally went online. I went to all the freelancing platforms. I think that's how I found him. I went onto freelancing platforms looking for developers. I searched all over the internet for a developer for the kind of site I wanted, and I literally started the process of sketching. I sketched out the site.
The way the site would look.
Yeah, everything from I did the wireframe. I'm quite artistic, so I studied art in school. So, my dad's an architect, so I kind of have that design, you know, sort of principles in my head. So I literally started sketching it out myself, and I came up with I almost designed the website myself. The only thing I didn't do was code it. Exactly. So, which is why the you know I was able to literally within 5 months we had a workable site. So let's just say by December 15th or so we launched the website at 2011. I started in about July, so it was very quick. You know, from but it wasn't actually quick though, considering that I had the idea from years ago.
Conceptualized it
and whatnot. So I launched, and we were one of the first. I mean, there was another company that maybe started a couple of weeks before us, but they weren't, in my opinion, they weren't really doing it the way we were doing. So we came up, and immediately I just sent a BlackBerry at the time. BBMs were all the rave. I just sent a broadcast to all my friends. Nobody even knew I was working on this. Maybe I had a few conversations with the people, telling them, "Okay, yes, I'm working on this ticketing platform." People, you know how people say, "Oh, I'm doing this." Nobody believed me. So I just sent them a BBM. Here's the link to this URL. Buy tickets to all the concerts. I've been speaking to all the different people. I launched it, and everybody was like, "Wow, this guy actually did this thing. I can't believe it." Nobody else was doing it on the same level. And the next day, we were selling tickets. So
wow.
It was kind of a very interesting ride.
So, like, I mean, very compelling story. At the point where you had the site, you know, running and all, was it just you? I mean, did you have anybody else?
There was us and another company at the time. I think it was...
No, I meant like when you started.
Oh, just me.
You didn't have a team working with you?
No, just me. Absolutely just me.
So you sat and did this on your own?
I didn't have money. I had no money. I was just a young guy. I just had this idea. And I typically immerse myself in a business when I start. I want to learn every aspect of it. So I overwhelm myself with work, I'm the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer. I'm the CTO. Even though I couldn't code, I was a CTO. I was sales. I was everything. People didn't know. I had different phone numbers. I had different email addresses. I'll get an email talking about, oh, the customer has an issue. I'll respond with a different name.
As customer care.
Then the technical problem, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I was going out to different promoters. I was meeting them myself, you know. So people thought I had a team. People didn't know. Even till now, people don't even know how big my team is. They believe that we're some huge company, but then we're just very efficient at what we do.
Have you ever worked?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
So I worked very briefly in the UK. I worked in a marketing company, even though I have no background in marketing. I just knew at the time that I was interested. It was something I was interested in. I worked in Nigeria. I worked in GlaxoSmithKline because I'm actually a biochemist by training.
Interesting.
Yeah, I studied biochemistry and biotechnology. So I worked in GlaxoSmithKline. Then I worked in another company for my NYC. But after that, I knew that I wasn't interested in working for anybody else. Why would I make you rich and slave and you know, not to say there's anything wrong with it.
Some of us are built for 9 to 5 anyway. Interesting story, because a lot of people who are listening are like, people don't really realize sometimes when you want to start a business, it's really like this. You just do it by yourself for a while.
Yeah.
Because you got to believe in yourself first before you have other people start to believe in
Absolutely.
You. So I'm kind of interested in the early stages of, you know, coming out after tickets. So you basically, you know, bootstrapped on your own, nobody. How long did you go without external fund? That is, if you even have any external funding now, or without partners?
Without partners, I did it for a while. That's a very good question.
Looks like a long time ago already.
Yeah. It's 7 years. Do you remember? I don't remember what happened last week. But I mean, I've funded the business by myself pretty much.
Yeah.
I've gotten friends and family to invest, but apart from that, I feel that I want to get it to a certain level before I take in external funding. I feel that your company could be more valuable. You know, when you can build it yourself. A lot of companies haven't actually taken funding, and they're now billion-dollar companies.
True.
So if I can fund it, right? If it's only at the point that I feel I'm strapped, or it's the point where I feel that the company is seriously lacking in any particular thing, that I will seek external funding. I've spoken to a few investors here and there, but in terms of whether it's
not like you're aggressively looking for
it. Not aggressively.
So plow back profits.
I plow back everything. Sometimes I don't even pay myself a salary.
Really?
In fact, a lot of it for the first, I think first maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years. I don't think I even paid myself anything. So I was just doing for the passion because I really believed in the business. I believed in and what we could achieve, and I still believe in where we're going. I mean, we're going to be the biggest ticketing company in Africa.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So let's, before we go on a break, let's just quickly talk about the model itself. So, I mean, you're saying that by, you know, the, as you launched the website, you're already selling tickets. So that kind of surprised me. Like, so how do you get people on your platform to sell tickets? I mean, like, how does that work?
Okay. So, AfriTickets is it's sort of a hybrid model. It's a hybrid between the Ticketmaster model, which is a PSP, TSP, ticketing service provider, and the, you know, software as a service, so like the third-party driven platform, like Eventbrite and, you know, the guys who are just internet-based ticketing platforms. So you basically, what that means is that you can upload, you can log on to AfriTickets.com yourself, and you can upload your event onto our platform. So we have people who are just who want to sell tickets for the event, and they log on and they just upload it themselves. On the other side, right, we also solicit for, we bid for contracts, we bid for concerts, so we meet promoters, and we actually try and get them to upload and to work with us to sell their tickets. So there's two different models. You know,
I think that basically answers it.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered how it works. Right now on radio, you're hearing, oh, you want to buy tickets for this show? Well, I go to blah.com, tickets.com.
So if they're free to load up, how do you now make your money?
Okay, so we make our money from commissions.
Okay.
So when they give us an event, we now have the mandate of selling their tickets. So they're basically entrusting us with their event, and they need us to sell tickets for them. So we get a commission on every ticket we sell via our platform. So we have online, obviously our online channel is the website, but then we have also partnerships with a lot of institutions. So we work with banks. Yeah. So we're in partnership with about seven top tier banks in Nigeria. So if you look at the Diamond Bank app, for example, the GT Bank, you go to Lifestyle, you see event tickets, that's us. We're the ones powering that. So we have multiple channels. Then we also partner with physical outlets. So, you know, some malls, some supermarkets, you know, some eateries. So when you go there, it's actually via us. We're the ones that are supplying them with tickets. So we provide a full service, you know, sales platform.
All right, let's take a break on Business Half Hour this morning. We'll be right back. And yes, if you ask, that is one of the attributes of an entrepreneur. Take a chance.
Yep. Gotta take a chance. And sometimes you gotta start and just do it yourself. Like, don't wait for anybody. Just get up and do it yourself. We were talking now about...
Just do it.
Just do it. We're talking about sports betting and how... I think we're going to get a sports betting guy on this show one of these days. Come on, just tell us about sports betting. So, back to AfriTickets. So this ticketing business, like... I mean, is it really big? I mean, like, because someone was telling me recently that, you know, we don't really do enough shows in Nigeria. And then most times people don't really pay for tickets anyway. So, like, a lot of tickets are given for free. So maybe, you know, it's not a very massive market. Like, so from your perspective, you know, you've been doing this for 7 years now. Is it growing? Is it stagnating?
Absolutely. It's growing massively, massively, massively. I mean, I think last year was a hallmark year for ticketing in Nigeria. I don't know if you attended the Davido and the Wizkid shows and the Rhythm Unplugged. They were huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they did in the hundreds of millions of naira, and that's for a one-day event, right? Wow. So it just shows you the potential. So imagine if we had more venues. Imagine if we had venues that could take, you know, 10,000, 50,000 people like you have across the world. So it's inevitable. It's going to happen, right? As infrastructure improves, as we get more investment in the space. Now, I think we are the pioneers. We've shown people that this is a viable business. This is, you know, a business that can actually make money. Trust me, the investments are coming. We're getting calls from investors all the time. They want to understand what the business is about. They want to understand what sort of numbers we're doing. At the moment, on the grand scale of things, when you look at us in comparison to obviously the big companies across the world, it's still relatively small. But then you know, I'm sure Dangote started somewhere. Interswitch started as a small company.
Yeah,
I'm sure Mega Electric started off small at some point, but now look at you guys. You guys are
like 4 or 5 stations already.
Exactly. Across you guys. In London. I heard Beat FM is now in London. So wow. You know, so it's growing. It's not growing as fast as I would like.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, you know, we're in this for the long term.
We see. How would you value the market, though? I mean, like, what do you think the market is worth currently? Ticketing market.
That's an interesting question. Well, I can tell you the
ballpark. I mean,
if I can tell you the entertainment space in Nigeria alone is in hundreds of millions of dollars. Think about
dollars.
It. Yes, whoa. Hundreds of millions of dollars. If you think about the number,
per annum.
I'm going to just, I'm putting events and entertainment into one bracket,
yeah.
Right? If you think about all the parties that Nigerians have, right? We have weddings, we have, you know, the brands are sponsoring a lot of events. Think about everything, all the events that MTN sponsors at universities, Globalcom, all the Nigerian Breweries events, right? If you could quantify.
Well, are they all ticketed events?
Some of them are ticketed, but they're not paid ticketed. Okay, they're ticketed, okay. But I'm talking about the spend in the industry. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about probably the hundreds of millions.
Interesting. I mean, like, this economy is just, there's just a lot here, you know, that we haven't actually started tapping into.
Yeah. And that's just
but people have always talked about affordability, though. Like, can people actually afford tickets?
Mm.
And then people also look at sports as well. Like, people don't really go to football matches, so there's actually an opportunity there as well. Absolutely, I mean, like, yeah. When you can have like 20,000-30,000 people come watch a game every day and all.
That so is if we build our leagues.
If we build our leagues, well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then, so back to the affordability one, is this something you observe? I mean, you probably see a lot of data from, you know, running this for about 7 years now. So is there like a price point that typically attracts people who buy tickets?
So the market is very fragmented. Mm. And really, It's a multifaceted question because the events that we've seen that are very expensive, you know, if you can get people paying 1 million naira, 2 million naira, 3 million naira for a table, and they sell out, right? They have 60 tables at 3 million naira, right?
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. But then you can have events that are 5,000 naira which don't really sell. It really depends on the type of event, the venue, the artist, the packaging of everything. So, you know, affordability. I think we definitely need to have, you know, bigger events that are more affordable. I think events are quite expensive now, but that's because the whole value chain is expensive. Venues, you don't have purpose-built venues for events, for concerts. Right now, everybody's using the major, you know, the one that everybody knows, Echo Hotel. But then you can see the amount of demand that's going towards Echo Atlantic. It sure shows that there's demand. But then it's so expensive to, you know, to put events together. So people have to put in their own production lighting, you know, the seating. It's nothing. It's
security.
So it's very expensive. And the artists are getting more and more expensive.
Mm.
So you have to. And if as a promoter, you don't make your money back from sponsorship, where are you going to make your money from?
Exactly.
You have to pass it on to the customers.
Mm.
So right now we don't have big enough venues to support
that level of investment.
Yeah. So they have to now, you know, plow that back into the ticket pricing, right? So they're like, okay, listen, if it costs us 80 million, for example, to put this event together, we don't have really have sponsorship for 20 million. Where are they going to get the rest of the money from?
Mm.
Right? They have to pass it onto the
attendees.
Yeah. Mm. So
I mean, segueing into challenges, your own unique challenges for the business. I mean, so this is basically industry-wide challenge. Mm. But for you, what would you say are your, you know, unique challenges?
Industry
in this particular industry.
Technology. Initially, when I started, there wasn't, like I said, the payment gateways were very, very poor. And you know, it's just very.
It's much better now, dude.
Oh, absolutely, but it's still a problem.
Yeah.
People still don't trust. You know, they don't trust the online platforms as much as they should. I mean, you can go into Amazon.com. You put in your card details. You'll save your card details, and then you transact. You leave your account details on there, and you do it without even thinking, because there's a trust element to it. But in Nigeria, we have people calling us and saying, oh, AfriTickets.com, you know, how can I buy tickets to this show? I'm like, okay, but it's on my website. You're calling an online ticketing platform to ask how you buy tickets to the show. You're saying, then you ask me, oh, is there anywhere else I can buy it? Can I buy a physical? I'm like, no, trust. You know, so trust has been one of the major
issues. Am I card details safe?
Yeah.
Well, of course. I mean, your card details are not stored. Mm-hmm. So your card details are safe. We're using, I mean, most of these payment gateways, Rave, Paystack, they're PCI compliant. So meaning that they have the highest level of security. So people don't need to be worried. I haven't heard of any cases of fraud, you know. In fact, in US and the UK, they actually have, I'm sure you heard about the breaches, you know, with
there's a breaches and all. Yeah, they all happen.
You know, I mean, everybody has breaches.
Last week was, I think there was one, was it Marriott Hotel or something?
Exactly, Marriott, 500 million accounts. 500 million accounts were breached.
These things are inevitable, though. I mean, I think people are beginning to think that, look, it's happening so regular that it's probably no longer a major risk, something that we just got to deal with.
Yeah.
Interesting, Lagos. This has been...
I'm just curious. Okay, other business, what do you do?
Sorry?
Apart from AfriTickets, because you said you were...
Okay, so I run a business called Cranium One. Okay. So Cranium One is essentially a shared workspace for early stage businesses, entrepreneurs, startups. And what we do is that we provide them with office space.
Virtual offices?
Not virtual offices, per se. Okay. Actual real offices, not virtual.
Okay.
So they can basically just bring in their laptop.
Okay.
And they can get access to internet, private offices, you know, hot desking. And we also, you know, we invest time and effort.
Is that a profitable business, though?
It is.
Because I've been seeing a lot of it popping up now.
Oh, it is. Mm. Think about the number of people who need office space in Lagos. Lagos is booming with 20 million plus people. How many of them? Think about all the people who've maybe been retrenched from banks and, you know, over the years. All of those people are skilled labor. They all have ideas. They might want to go into fashion. They might want to go into anything. So they need access to workspace to even sit down and feel, you know, sort of like they're doing
something. Who are the most customers? Are they just startups? Is it tech startups? Or?
Well, yes, we see mostly tech startups because a tech businesses are the cheapest businesses to sort of start up. What you need is really a computer,
a laptop and a desk and all that.
Where is
and a
this?
Cup of coffee.
Okay, so our pilot, should I say, our pioneer office spaces in Victoria Island.
Okay.
So just near Idejo Street, Tari Close.
All right, Lagos, we've been talking to Olaoto Tarikoka. I hope I got that pronunciation
yes,
right.
Did.
All right, Tarikoka. He's the founder of AfriTickets.com. And he's also the founder of, I think it's Cranium, right?
Cranium One. Yeah.
Cranium One is a workspace platform. I mean, we've had an interesting conversation. I mean, like, I didn't even know time was up already because like, you didn't even tell me.
So 30 minutes gone.
Yeah, 30 minutes gone already. Like,
I could go for another one hour.
I know. I mean, it's been an interesting conversation. I think we're going to try and bring you back on the show. I think you've got a whole lot to share. 7 years in business is not
actually more longer than that. Seven years
in this particular one. Yeah. I mean, like you see, you've got a lot of depth in you, so we're going to try and, you know, see if we can fit into your schedule and bring you back. So before we go, we usually like to have like a byline. Like, is there something like guides you, like a byline for me?
What's your mantra?
Mine is, you know, start narrow, go wide. So I mean, what's yours? Yeah, like, I believe in like lean start, just start lean and then you can start it.
I'd say for life, live your best life.
Life is
long. People say life is short. Actually, life is long. So try and live it the best way you can.
All right, Lagos, you heard that. If they want to reach you, where can they reach you? Your website and all?
Yes, you can reach me at my social media profiles at OliTC on Twitter. That's or my email. You can hit me at info@afritickets.com or olaoto@gmail.com. If you have any great ideas, you want to collaborate, you want to make money together, please get in touch.
Somebody was asking to, are you hiring? People always ask me, why don't you ask you whether they're hiring?
Always hiring. We're looking for the best talent at all times. So if you're smart, you have great ideas, and you want to work for one of the best companies in Nigeria, get in touch.
All right, Bukola, that's our show for this week. Remember, Lagos, if you want to listen to this show again, if you missed it, if you're just tuning in, check out our website, www.nairametrics.com/podcast, or listen to it on any of your podcast platforms. You get the show, Bukola. That's our show for the week.